One of my favorite places in the world is Mount Monadnock in southern New Hampshire. Yes, there are mountains in New Hampshire. If you've never been there, not huge snow-capped mountains like the Rockies, but beautiful, green, kind of smaller mountains. But Mount Monadnock sort of stands by itself in that region, 3,100 feet, which is pretty high for New England. And the summit provides, once you reach it, it's a rocky summit, and you can see 360 degrees all the way around. In fact, I believe from there you can see little bits of at least every state in New England. I first climbed Mount Monadnock my first year of seminary when I was out near Boston, and I was taken there by other students who had climbed it before, and so they took a group of us and we climbed it together. And then a couple years later, my brother visited where I was in seminary, and then I took him to climb it because I thought it was so cool. And then shortly after that, I met Laura, and we climbed it together. And then later, we returned there, and I served a church in Massachusetts, and we took our kids to climb Mount Monadnock. And then we told Pastor Tim and Carrie Ramgren, who many of you know, about it, and they took their family, and they climbed it also, and Tim later took the youth group, and they climbed it too. I imagine you could tell similar stories about your favorite places, places that you not only love to go to, but that you like to share with others. You see where I'm going with this? That you like to share your favorite things with other people. Take them to where you have been. We humans are social beings. God created us with a desire to share what we love with the people we love. And that's true about climbing mountains, about seeing beautiful vistas that you've discovered. But I think it's even more true about our faith. When we encounter God, when we find life in Jesus, when we discover new truths in the Bible, we want to share those things. We want to share them with other people we care about because we know how our lives have been touched, and we want the people that we love also to be touched by those same things. The last 2 weeks we've been reading from Old Testament prophets, and today we're going to continue that as we turn to Ezekiel. Ezekiel prophesied actually outside of the Israelites' homeland. He was carried off along with other people in the early part of the exile. He went off to Babylon, and there he prophesied to God's people who were in exile, as well as his word went back to those who hadn't yet been carried off and someday would be. But the opening chapters of Ezekiel tell us about his amazing encounter with God's glorious presence, and then how God called Ezekiel to become a prophet and preach his word. So we're going to read sort of highlights from the first three chapters of Ezekiel this morning to get a taste of what he experienced in God's presence, but also to remind us about our relationship with Jesus Christ and how through Jesus we can have amazing encounters with God as well that we can then share with the people around us. So in chapter 1, if you want to read it, I would encourage you to at some point to read through this extraordinary vision that Ezekiel has been given. And what he encounters in this vision at first is these four, he calls them living creatures. They're angels. They're cherubim. These great angelic hosts that attend to God. And he describes them as having various different faces all around their heads and wings, and they ride around in sort of chariots, and they're moving around underneath the throne of God. And so that's kind of what we're not going to read, but then we get to the part that we are going to read at the end of chapter 1, because then Ezekiel looks up higher above those living creatures, and he sees this glorious image. So in chapter 1 at verse 25, "Then there came a voice from above the vault over their heads as they stood with lowered wings. Above the vault over their heads was what looked like a throne of lapis lazuli. And high above on the throne was a figure like that of a man. I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like glowing metal, as if full of fire. And that from there down, he looked like fire. And brilliant light surrounded him, like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the radiance around him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell face down, and I heard the voice of one speaking. This was Ezekiel's first real encounter with God. Ezekiel was a priest, actually. He was a man of faith. He knew God's word. He worshiped the Lord. He had been carried off into exile with other priests and other people who the Babylonians considered were sort of important, and they didn't want them to live in their homeland anymore. But for Ezekiel, this experience, this vision that he received, seeing the glory of God, this was a whole new thing for him. And it changed his life. God gave him this glimpse sort of behind the heavenly curtain. This is what it's like, Ezekiel. The majesty of God's throne room. There are other passages in the Bible that you can read about images like this where God's people were given sort of a glimpse at God's glory. You remember Moses at the burning bush seeing this manifestation of God and God speaking directly to Moses. There's a passage in Isaiah. Some of us are reading through Isaiah's prophecy right now in the Immerse book and discussion groups. And Isaiah is given an encounter with God's glory in the temple, and he sees God's majesty filling that place. In the New Testament, John was given images or visions that were very similar to what Ezekiel sees here and even to what Isaiah saw in his prophecies. And we read through the book of Revelation, and John records these extraordinary encounters with God, glimpses into heaven. It was believed that if a human saw God's face, they would die. And you can imagine how that could be true. But then again, there were people like Ezekiel who were given those encounters with God, and they lived to tell about it. God allowed Ezekiel to see his glory. And again, it changed Ezekiel's life. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never received a vision like Ezekiel's. Not in the way that he describes it. I've never seen the glorious majesty of God, and maybe I won't in this life. One day we will when we go to heaven. But you and I, we have something that Ezekiel never did. And that is, we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we have God's own Spirit living within us. And we have the extraordinary blessing of being able to read all of God's Word and take into our hearts and into our minds not only what Ezekiel experienced, but what God's people experienced through hundreds of years of biblical history recorded for us. And so as we read these words in the opening chapters of Ezekiel, we're inspired by what he saw. And we should be. It was extraordinary, this gift that God gave to Ezekiel. But we also hold on to this truth for our lives of faith. That through Jesus, we encounter the glory of the Lord. And you might think, again, I've never seen the things that Ezekiel saw. But we encounter the glory of the Lord. Through Jesus, we can pray, and we know that God hears us. If we listen as we pray, we can hear God even whispering back into our souls. When we come to worship here in this place, God welcomes us. God's Holy Spirit is here in this place right now as we worship Him. When we read Scripture, we find God's truth there. And we can understand it, and it can speak right into our hearts, and that is a work of the Holy Spirit. We have, of course, heard the good news of Jesus. We know just how much God loves us because we can read the story of Jesus dying on the cross, and not only do we read the story, but we know it's true because in our faith and the experience of our walking with God, we can feel the truth and the power of God in our lives. And best of all, through Jesus Christ, we have the Holy Spirit, the living and powerful presence of God. The image that Ezekiel saw, that vision up in heaven, we now have that glory living within us. And we know what it's like to feel God moving in our lives. Our encounter with God, our relationship with Jesus Christ, is like going to a favorite place. It's somewhere that you can go and enjoy being there and see the beautiful sights and encounter God in prayer and in reading Scripture and in worship, and it changes who we are. But it's so much better and so much more meaningful if you can also share it with others. And that was true for Ezekiel also. God allowed him to see this glorious image of heaven, the living creatures, and then God himself on the throne lifted high above. Ezekiel was going to carry God's message to Israel, and so first he had this encounter with God, but then God began to place his own word into Ezekiel's heart. Because you see, what Ezekiel experienced, that great vision that he received, was not just about changing Ezekiel, but it was so that he could then go and change other people's lives through the word that God would give him. And so listen to what happens at the end of chapter 2, beginning at verse 9. Ezekiel writes, "Then I looked, and I saw a hand stretched out to me, and in it was a scroll, which he unrolled before me. On both sides of it were written words of lament and mourning and woe. And he said to me, 'Son of man, eat what is before you. Eat this scroll, then go and speak to the people of Israel.' So I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, eat this scroll I am giving you, and fill your stomach with it.' So I ate it, and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth." And then down at verse 10, "And he said to me, 'Son of man, listen carefully, and take to heart all the words I speak to you. Go now to your people in exile and speak to them. Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, whether they listen or fail to listen.'" Here's the truth that we need to bring into our lives from these words, that we, like Ezekiel, we feed on God's word so that we can share it with others. Ezekiel literally fed on the word. He was handed a scroll. Now, we don't know if this is a vision, if he's seen this in his mind, or maybe in this moment someone actually did appear before him. But at least in Ezekiel's experience, he ate the scroll. And I know that sounds odd. Why would God have someone eat a scroll? But God was saying to him something that we need to hear and understand. And I think Ezekiel understood this. God was saying to him, "Here is my word. Here is my word," God says, "my message." As Ezekiel saw that scroll unrolled before him, and he sees there are already words written on it. We think of Ezekiel being a prophet, that he wrote the words, but they were God's words given to him. "Here it is, Ezekiel." And the scroll is unrolled, and there he reads those words on it. And God says, "Now you need to take it into your life. You need to fill yourself with my word. You need to let it enter into you, because then you will be ready. Once my word has come into you, then you will be ready to speak that word to others." So God told Ezekiel, "Go to your people and speak to them. Don't speak your own words, Ezekiel. Don't speak your own ideas. Don't just repeat the popular wisdom of the day. Don't say what the politicians want you to say. Don't repeat what the celebrities talk about. Don't listen to and repeat what the cultural elites might say. No, God says to Ezekiel, say to the people, this is what the sovereign Lord says. When Ezekiel ate the scroll, he found it to be sweet in his mouth, which I'm sure was a relief. I've never eaten a scroll before, but I wouldn't think it would be sweet. But Ezekiel says it was sweet. God's word is sweet in its truth and its life-giving wisdom. But at the same time, Ezekiel, when he saw the words on that scroll that he was about to eat, he saw the words contained lament and mourning and woe. And as you read through the rest of Ezekiel's prophecy, you'll know what he meant by that. God's word is not always sweet. It's not always easy to swallow. It's not always happy and nice. Sometimes God tells us hard truths that are hard for us to take in. Sometimes even when we are confronted by God's word, we may think, you know, I'd rather listen to what the world has to say. And there's always that temptation that we face. There's always that temptation that people like me face when you stand in front of the church to say, oh, let me just tell you the nice things. Let me just tell you the good things that you want to hear. But sometimes God's word is hard. And we need to be willing to take in even those hard truths. And God's word becomes sweet, not because it's always easy and nice, but because we know it's true. And that when we believe it, it even becomes good for us. Now, before you try to eat your Bible, remember that God often asks the prophets to do odd things to sort of dramatize His message. And as you read through the Old Testament prophets, you'll see that over and over again. Kind of the same reason that Jesus told parables, right? So that you could understand the truth that He was saying, but it's kind of easier to take in story form. And so that's, I think, part of what God was saying to Ezekiel. You don't need to eat the pages of your Bible, but you do need to feed on God's Word. And the image for us, the truth behind that is still the same for us, that we need to take God's word fully into our hearts. Even the hard parts. Even the parts we struggle to understand. We feed on God's word for the very same reason that Ezekiel did, so that it will first change us, but then so that we can share it with others. So that then we can speak God's word to someone else. So I wonder if there are any prophets here this morning. I wonder if there is anyone here today who God can use to communicate His message. I wonder if there is anyone here today who is filled with the Holy Spirit and who has God's word in your heart. And who can speak that truth to the people around you? Ezekiel was a prophet with sort of a capital P, right? But all of us can be prophets also. We feed on the Word. We fill our hearts with God's truth because it's good for us. And then we're also able to share it with others. And before you object and say, well, no, God hasn't called me to be a prophet, we better read a little bit more of what God said to Ezekiel and understand just how seriously God takes this calling on His people to share His word. So now we're in chapter 3 at verse 16. At the end of the 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the people of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to a wicked person, you will surely die, and you do not warn them or speak out to dissuade them from their evil ways and in order to save their life, that wicked person will die for their sin and I will hold you accountable for their blood. But if you do warn the wicked person, and they do not turn from their wickedness or from their evil ways, they will die for their sin, but you will have saved yourself. God calls each of us to particular jobs within the church. gives us each a set of spiritual gifts that we can use to serve His kingdom. Some are called to prophesy. Some are called to teach. Some are called to preach. And those callings are important to the church. Some of them are even recognized in formal ways, like ordination or ministerial license, and that's significant within the church. I'm called to preach. I'm called to teach God's Word. I was called by God. I was ordained by the church, and that's, again, significant. But don't let that fool you into thinking that you have not also been called. Don't be deceived into thinking that you can't or you don't need to share God's Word. This passage was a warning to Ezekiel. God is going to hold you accountable, Ezekiel, for whether you share God's message or not. And if you fail to share that message, if you fail to speak God's truth, then you're going to be accountable for the evil that people do in the world around you. Think about that burden that was placed on Ezekiel. On the other hand, Ezekiel, if you do share God's Word, if you prophesy as I've called you to, if you share my message with the people, if you call them to repentance and to live a righteous life, and they refuse to listen to you, then that's on them. And Ezekiel, you will at least have done your part, and I won't hold you to account for their sin. We may not like this particular message that God spoke. The truth that we need to hold on to from these words is that we must share God's Word, even if some reject it. And we know people will reject God's Word. That's been true from the very beginning, from the Old Testament to the New, all through the church age. There are some who hear the good news of Jesus and they reject it. But that doesn't mean that we stop sharing that good news. So your calling and your spiritual gifts may not make you a capital P prophet or a preacher or a minister, but we as a church, all of us together, we share this calling. We must preach God's Word. We must share His truth. We must call people to repentance. We must share the good news of Jesus Christ. Because if not, if we don't, then the world will continue in its evil ways. And even more importantly, people we care about, our family, our friends, our neighbors, they'll never hear about Jesus. They will never even have an opportunity to turn to God and find new life. Sharing God's Word and the message of Jesus Christ is not optional. It's not something that we do some of the time when we feel like it. No, it's at the center of our mission. God told Ezekiel that he was set as a watchman for Israel. Someone who would warn them when danger is coming. To call them to, even speaking hard truth, but call them away from their sin back to righteousness. And in the same way, the church of Jesus Christ has been set as watchmen over our culture, to point people to Jesus, to call people away from sin, out of darkness, and to help them to find God's truth and live according to His righteous ways. Yes, there will be some who reject God's Word. There's some who will say no to Jesus. But our mission as a church is the same as Ezekiel's calling. We speak the truth that we find in God's Word. It's why we support missionaries like Jonna and Fabio, far away in France, bringing God's Word to people we may never meet. It's why we support missionaries and ministries right here in our own community who share God's love with people in need, like Pregnancy Care Center and the Rescue Mission and Food Pantry and our sister churches here in town. It's why we're hosting Vida Eterna and the work they're doing to bring God's good news in the Spanish language to people who I can't communicate with, but they can. That's why we're doing that. We share God's truth also with our own neighbors. We share God's love and we invite people to join us in church because we have been called. We've been called to do it. We have encountered the glory and love of the living God. Through our relationship with Jesus Christ, we have found new life and we know God and the power of the Spirit is alive within us. And we feed on God's Word. And we do those things so that it will change us, but also so that we can share it with the people around us. So may God continue to show us His glory. May He continue to fill us with His Word. And may He also give us courage and faith to share the love and the message of Jesus with people in need. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for Your good news. We thank You for Your calling on our lives as individuals, but also as Your whole church, that we can work together to do the things that Ezekiel was called to do, to be a watchman to our world, to feed on Your Word and then share it with others, to warn people to turn from their sin and to find new life and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us to remember the warning that You gave to Ezekiel that Your people are held accountable because we do know You and we have Your Word. And it's not just to be kept inside the church or inside our lives, but it's to be shared with others. And so, Lord, give us the courage to go and do that. Give us the strength we need in the name of Jesus Christ and in the power of Your Spirit to share Your good news with the people around us. Lord, we ask this in the name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen.